I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Education for Monday, December 12th, 2016. Ms. Stratford, will you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Perrott?
Here.
Mr. Sperling?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. Quorum being present, we'll order business. Y'all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry. Today is unique because we have two public hearings. There will be a public hearing concerning the intent of the Board of Education to sell $20 million in working cash fund bonds. Mrs. Ratchford, will you take the roll?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Perrott?
Here.
Mr. Sperling?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. We will now hear a presentation on the purpose of the bond sale for middle school construction project. Welcome, Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. This will be very brief. As you're aware, back at the November Board of Education meeting, the board approved a letter of intent. Tonight's hearing, the Bond Issue Notification Act hearing, BINA hearing, is part of the required process in order to issue working cash bonds under the debt service extension base. So we talked a lot about that before, so I won't belabor that point. But it does permit the Board of Education to sell up to $20 million, which was noted in the resolution. We discussed at the last meeting that $15 million of those would be for middle school construction. And then the board would have the option to consider several projects, including the Norris Recreation Center alternate bids, as well as the North High School field. PMA will be at this Thursday's Business Services meeting to present specifics about that bond option with the intention to offer those bonds in early 2017. Administration did follow all the required guidelines. We published the hearing on November 16, the publication of this hearing on November 16, 2016, and a 30-day period is required under the petition process. So that would be December 16th, that 10% of the registered voters would have to petition against it. So this is really the last formal action by the board until we actually go out to publish and offer bonds.
Should a petition appear, what's our action then?
Yeah, so if a petition came in, they're actually titled to the board secretary, so Mrs. Parag would be the one to receive those technically. If administration or Mrs. Parag saw anything on the face of those that looked to be false, such as somebody signing a name that's clearly not a registered voter, Mickey Mouse or something like that, then we would have the ability to reject that petition. It would go on to the county, and then the county would take the action from there. If the petition on its face looks legitimate, again, we pass that on to the county. If any registered voter within 5 business days objects to that petition, then that cause for a hearing, and that would be a 3-person county hearing that would review those signatures line by line to make sure that they're all officially registered voters, and that would have to be as of November 8th, before the November 8th election.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At this time, we're not aware of anything.
Not the November 8th.
April 4th.
No, the registered voters from the November 8th.
Oh, from the November 8th.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
They had to be registered prior to the November 8th election.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Board members, are there any further comments?
This is just one issue, right? We're not going to do like a convert to 5 as we need the money.
So that will be discussed Thursday at the Business Services meeting. There will be several options for you guys to consider. Initially, we talked about it being in one single. I know at the Board of Education meeting, it was discussed about potentially just doing a 15 and holding off on the 5. You do, as a board, have up to 3 years to issue those bonds. So it's really going to be up to the Board of Education. A lot of this will play into interest rates, and there's been some change over the last 30 to 60 days in the market. So it really will depend on what the board prefers.
This authorizes up to $20 million, and you have that up to 3 years to decide how you're going to structure that. So you don't have to do it now, you don't have to do it next year, you can, you know, so you have that 3-year option. So going through this process, this tonight does nothing other than to say it's the next step in that process.
So, I'm sorry, do you have a...
Go ahead, please.
So we're going to, right now, our intention is $15 million, and then any additional money would be brought before the board for discussion before we...
I can't speak to that because that's going to be discussed at Thursday meeting, not because that's our intention as the administration, but that doesn't necessarily, that's the board's intention. Because part of what's going to play into this is interest rates and some other, what the cost of, you know, so PMA is going to go through all through that on Thursday and that. So that's really a board decision. So I can't tell you.
So when would we issue the bonds, I guess, is that?
Well, that's, again, you... That'll be up to you as the board to decide, but you could do it. If you're looking for that $15 million, you could decide to use, because remember, we're using bonds and we're using cash.
Right.
And you could decide to use the bond money first, and so therefore you'd want to issue that fairly quickly and then use cash afterwards, or you could use it the other way around, or you could use some mix in that regarding that as far as timing goes. I think what PMA will present to you is that the interest rates right now still are reasonably favorable. I think that they think that in December that the Fed, you know, here shortly next week, they think the Fed will probably start raising interest rates. And so whether you want to capture those dollars now so that you get a more favorable interest rate or not, that'll be the decisions that you'll have to make. And that discussion will start on Thursday with the board and will continue the next month. At the board meeting next month. So tonight, all you're doing is formalizing that you've completed the hearing.
Okay.
So we don't lock in the rate on Thursday's meeting.
No.
We will not be able to do that until we take the vote in January, is that
correct?
You'll
take a vote in January, and then, yeah, the earliest you would be able to do it would be with PMA after the January board meeting, you would then authorize.
Okay.
You authorize to do that. That would be the earliest you could do it.
That's a shame.
So they would go to the market sometime mid-January or so after your board meeting.
So our best time for conversation is this Thursday, when they're here and they can give us alternatives. And
right, so they'll walk you through their... you know, Mr. Chapman and I walked through, I think they've got three options or so that they'll present to you, but there's really a plethora of different ways to do that, and so you'll see that on Thursday.
Anyone else? Okay. Is there any public written or oral comment? I guess with that... that we've been previously or written out. No, we have nothing. Not hear anything. All persons desiring to be heard have been given an opportunity to present oral and written testimony with respect to the proposed issuance of bond. I would like to have a motion and a second to adjourn the public hearing.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Gaffney and Mr. Sperling. And Mrs. Ratchford, will you call the roll?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Manhan.
Yes. Yes.
Mrs. Brock? Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes. Motion carries. There will now be a public hearing on the adoption of the aggregate tax levy for the year 2016. I'd like to call the public hearing to order. Mr. Chapman, will you give us an explanation of the tax levy?
Okay, it's my pleasure to present the 2017 tax projections associated with the 2016 tax extension levy. You've seen this content before if you were at the Business Services Committee meeting, so I'll go as quickly as possible not to omit some of the key points. Our key dates in the levy process, we had levy discussions actually back in October, but at the November 3rd Business Services meeting is when we held our official levy workshop, and that's where we provided with you the parameters that would be included in the estimated tax levy resolution, which is the November 14th meeting. While we're not required to, we do publish annually the tax notice, and we do hold this public hearing. The Board of Education tonight, our hope is that you'll approve that levy, and then we need to file that by the last Tuesday in December, which we do ahead of time, as you can see, December 20th. As you're aware, the tax levy provides nearly 80% of our revenue. It's governed by several different laws and school codes, all of which we follow to make sure that the levy is completed appropriately and accurately. And of course, we do levy by fund, and each fund has their own set of limits, which we are maintaining in this levy. So several different components as part of the tax levy. The three largest areas, one is the operating levy, which is the tax cap portion. We've talked a lot about that. It's designated by Consumer Price Index for us here in the collar counties. What that means is the January 2016 Consumer Price Index is what's in play here for this year's 2016 levy for the 2017 taxes. That rate was 0.7% for January, which was a low over the last several years. The other side is the debt service levy. That's the non-capped. We've talked a lot about that as being similar to debt payments. And that's always driven by our debt schedule. So whatever the debt is outstanding, whatever that schedule says, that's what we have to levy for and that portion of the levy. Thankfully, this year we have a decrease. So when we compare this year's rate to last year's rate, there's a drop in that area. And then lastly, new growth, that's based on the assessor, or in our case, multiple assessors, because we're in different municipalities. And that's a projection based off where they see the new growth, the new construction in the district. You're well aware that our levy impacts our budget process in two fiscal years. The 16-17 budget, the second half, is part of this 2016 levy. And the next year's levy, the FY18 budget, it will pick up the first half, will be this levy, and then the next half would be unknown. So that's what we'll talk about a year from now. So here's the visual. We've talked about this in the two buckets. Last year at this time, we brought to you the 2015 levy impacting the 2016 taxes, and that was the second half of the 15-16 budget and the first half of the 16-17 budget, which you approved in August. 2017 taxes kind of fill up that bucket for this budget year. So we'll then have our revenue accounted for, roughly $166 million of levy revenue when you include both the capped and the non-capped portion of our levy. And then that second bucket will start the next year's budget, the second part of the levy will impact the next year's budget, 17-18, which we'll start working on here in just a couple of weeks. Always a good opportunity to remind the board and community that we do have the lowest tax rates. King County, St. Charles, there on the left, the green portion is our operating. I don't know why that color scheme is. Oh, that's right, because it's the other. The green is green because it's us. That's our non our capped portion of our operating budget, and then the blue would be our debt portion, and our debt portion is also the lowest among our King County peers. So this is a big picture. You've seen this as we talked through the middle school construction. Right now we're dropping right here. About $1.2 million is coming off of our non-capped portion of our debt schedule. The following year is what you've been targeting with your abatement strategy coming up the last 4 years, and that's where that $16 million drop occurs. And that's really the paying off of the North High School bonds. All for a taxpayer savings, a cumulative savings for a $300,000 homeowner of $600. That will come to fruition next year with your 2018 taxes paid. So when I look back at previous levies, back with the taxpayer 2015 levy, you as a board asked us to keep the levy under 2% for our current residents, and it came in at 1.92%. You as a board abated a little over $1 million in taxes. And then the following year, you asked us to keep it at 1.5% or lower, and we came in at 1.45%. Again, with an abatement, and that was the fourth and final year of abatement at $578,000 for a cumulative total of $6 million that you abated back to District 303 taxpayers, all with the intention of getting to that 2017 levy for the 2018-19 school year. So the key implications for the District 303 levy are the EAV, the total district EAV, so all the equalized assessed values of the properties in the district was declining for years and years. Last year was the first year we had an uptick at 3%. Last year we also plateaued for new growth at about $12 million. And I mentioned the additional impact and the change from last year to this year is we're seeing a decrease in our debt service payments of about $1.2 million. So the key inputs in consideration, 0.7%, I mentioned to you earlier. That's the first time we've had a four-year period with no year above 3% in the history of consumer price indexes being tracked. Our projections moving forward, we don't know what our growth is going to be. We won't know that until March, so we have to make a projection. And my discussions with the county and our township assessors, we don't believe this year will be as much of a growth as last year. I mentioned 3% last year, but we do believe we'll see a little bit of growth. So we're projecting a 1% growth in EAV. And then new construction, while we have seen new construction, it still isn't really coming to the books. And so, again, a small increase from 12 million up to 15 million is what we're expecting. Now, I will note we do ask for more than 15 million on the new construction, so we expect to put in 25 million because we always want to make sure we hit that number. If we miss it on the low side, we lose it. So we always make sure we budget a little bit extra in new construction. And of course, we always want to stay in line with their five-year projections, make sure that's aligned with the levy, and we are. Here's the chart you're very accustomed to. This is where we left off when you last approved the budget. And this is our five-year projections on the red side being the high point in our fund balance and the blue our low side, being very careful not to let the blue slide too low and have to issue tax anticipation warrants. Again, that's not of concern in these projections. You will see updated projections at the January Business Services meeting, so we'll go through the whole process and make our assumptions as we move forward and look out the next 5 years. So just breaking down what that $300,000 taxpayer in our community, an average $300,000 might see. When we look at the operating tax rate, that portion for 2016, when we add that 0.7% CPI, impacts the rate change by 0.037. Well, in terms of dollars, that's $37 to a $300,000 homeowner. But when we add in the bond and interest, which is that debt portion of the levy, there's a decrease, and that reflects back to that $1.2 million I referenced earlier. That $1.2 million in our debt schedule dropping is 0.042% of a decrease. So that's $42 less for a total of a $5 decrease. So this tax levy represents, for an average $300,000 homeowner, a $5 decrease on their D303 portion of their tax bill. Not to forget and mention, so you may ask yourself, well, what does that mean with the 2018? We still have the $560 projected for next year in the drop in our bond and interest, so that's that $600 piece. We do not know yet next year's levy extension on the operating side because that, as I mentioned earlier, is based on the January 16th announcement of our December year-ending 2016 Consumer Price Index. So we won't know that yet for another month. So again, just to reiterate, 2017 and 2018, that combination of those two is a $600 decrease in the debt portion of the D303 levy. I normally wouldn't have this here, but we spent a lot of time talking about this slide and this impact of middle school construction, so I don't want to let anyone forget that we are still acknowledging the middle school improvements is a $31 increase, but here again, the $600 retirement of the bonds results in a net change on your tax, D303 average $300,000 homeowner of $569, and that is each additional year. It's not a one-time adjustment down. So in summary, this tax levy accomplishes the following: a 0.13% decrease in the concurrent D303 taxpayers. Again, that's that $5 drop, and that's significantly due to the drop in the debt payments. It keeps us on track for the 2018-19 drop in the debt service and remains aligned with the five-year projections. Questions?
First, I'm going to ask if there's any public comments. Was there anything out there, Mr. Blaney? Public comment? But not for this. So is there any public comment? And now, board members, are there any questions or comments you'd like to make?
I'm good.
It's right on track where we've been all along.
That's even better, I think. A decrease. Anyone? Okay. No. Thank you very much, Mr. Chapman. No motion is necessary, and I'll close the hearing on the adopting the aggregate tax levy for the year 2016. So now we will return to our regularly scheduled meeting. Are there any citizen comments? You said there was one. That's Mr. Blomquist. What's your topic? Tell us.
I need to read that.
Oh, okay. Would you read the?
Absolutely.
I want to make sure he...
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Joe Blomquist, SCEA president. Tonight I'm here to talk to you about stress. I'm not talking about the stress about all the shopping that we still have to do, or the stress of driving through the snowy roads, or even the stress that's coming up for our students and teachers as they get ready for finals in January. I'm here to talk about toxic stress, stress that impacts us more deeply and permanently than the stress we commonly experience. Extensive research has identified 10 adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, that have that lasting effect through toxic stress. The more ACEs you have, the more impact it has on your mind and your body. Having one ACE has a profound impact on learning and health. Having four or more poses a seemingly insurmountable obstacle. You might think that these ACEs are not as prevalent in the suburban area like St. Charles, but they are here. My own ACE score is a 2. The great news is that there is something that we can do about it. It is possible for students to overcome ACEs and be successful. And the first step is becoming knowledgeable. The Illinois Education Association, in collaboration with District 303, invites you to attend a documentary called Paper Tigers, a film which examines the issue of adverse childhood experiences and what we can do to stomp out ACEs. This is going to be happening on Wednesday, January 25th at 7 p.m. A press release will be coming out in the next coming weeks. We will have a light dinner provided for all attendees at 6 o'clock as well. It'll be at the Norris Cultural Arts Center. I hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blanca. That concludes citizen comments. It's the superintendent's report. Dr. Coleman.
Okay, great. We'll keep it short tonight. Middle school committees are getting going, and we've been with the architects and stuff. A couple committees I want to bring to your attention. The Culture and Climate Committee, they start meeting on December 13th, which is tomorrow. What, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Tomorrow. So they have parents involved in that, so their objectives are, I think, 4, right?
Yes.
I don't have them in front of me either, so I was hoping you had them. But essentially, their job is to work on things like naming of the, and those kind of things will come back to the board for final approval, those things like that. So what's the culture and climate of the new facility? How is it going to work? Those kind of things like that. So they're going to work on that. And so they start meeting tomorrow. Those, secondly, a committee of athletics and field use. They're for the middle school, they're going to meet the first week in January, and again they'll start, and clubs and activities meet February 1st, and that's the middle school principals and marker on that, I think, is that right? And in addition to that, during the process we're meeting with the architects and the teachers are meeting with them as well to work on Thompson and the design of Thompson and kind of what all goes into that all. So I know that I've been, meeting with the architects, crawling around in areas of Thompson I've never been in before. Thought I'd been to it all, but there was a couple places that I didn't know there was a dark room in Thompson, and there is.
Are we keeping it?
I don't know if we're keeping it, but it's, There is a dark room. It used to be the dark room in the high school. Did you take photography?
Let's not go there, okay?
Did you take photography back then?
No.
Okay.
They didn't have photography then.
Huh?
I said they didn't have photography.
Tintype. It was tintype.
So there is a dark room. I ended up in a dark room. It's got this metal door on it that locks and all those kind of different things like that. So kind of cool. So we've been in areas that going through all that with the architects to try to make sure that we got everything covered and feeling good about where the process is at. So that's where we're at. Secondly, as on your agenda tonight, there's a donation that came in. Thanks for Mrs. Huell for asking about it. The Four Scout Foundation. The Four Scout Foundation is an amazing organization that was started at the in memory of Scout Cantrell. So if you remember, Scout Cantrell was a student of ours at Wasco. She was a great swimmer for us and great participant in swimming, in youth swimming. And her parents have started a Four Scout Foundation. So they gave a grant of $1,600 was given to every elementary school and $2,000 to every middle school that they raised. Not all of them are on the list tonight, only because they didn't all respond in time for us to get it on the list, but every middle school and every elementary school got a donation from theirs for our students. So I wanted to just point that out, kind of a really cool memory of Scout and the impact that she had on our students and our faculty. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you for finding that out. I just was wondering, it's listed on the gifts and donations, and the secretary will be acknowledging that, but I'm glad we did it now. So, thank you. Committee reports. There were two committees that met. Learning and teaching was one, and policy was another. Which one would you like? I think you did well. Learning and teaching.
Learning and teaching. My policy was not me.
That was me.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I hope.
I'm sorry.
I hope policy is not me. Let me panic for a moment.
I guess that would be Des's.
I was there, but we had recognition, three recognitions, third place championships. That was the North Mock Trial team, third place in the Empire World Championships. 47 teams from 7 countries competed, so that's pretty impressive. Dr. Byrne highlighted Project Synergy, which is going to, in Northern Illinois, we're going to have hands-on engineering experience. 47 incoming sophomores will be participating in the program in July, and Project Lead the Way will be implementing, implementation will be taking place during second and third trimesters of this year. Additionally, we had the AP Capstone course. Course highlights are what the course is about: independent thinking, effective writing, research, collaboration, and it's all cross-disciplinary. This was presented by Renee Reynolds from North and Jamie Richter from East. The two courses are going to be AP Seminar, 10th and 11th grade, skill-based interdisciplinary issue analysis of academic and real-world issues, argument construction independently and collaboratively. The instructor training will take place this coming summer. And the AP Research for 11th and 12th grade, design and implement a year-long investigation into an area of individual interest. This one's interesting because there's a paper and an oral defense, almost like they're defending a thesis. And that's going to be, the instructor training for that's going to be taking place in summer of 2018. A certificate from this would be completion of both courses, and student can earn a diploma by a score of 3 or more on both of those courses, as well as 2 more AP courses. So the big issue was park testing. And this, David Chizar presented the information. This was the second year of data. It's a 3 through 8 testing this year. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. I think I got it right, but 3 through 8 this year, so the alignment links between elementary, middle, and high school are going to kind of be lost because we're not testing the same years. Is that kind of...
Part will continue 3 through 8, so we'll maintain that, but high school is moving to SAT, which is truly a better option.
Right.
So just that link between elementary moving into high school will be kind of go by set days where it's not... we're all going to do our own kind of conversions.
Okay. And the Illinois Science exam data had not been released. The highlights from 2015-16, we had the tests reduced to a single testing window where previously there had been two. There are six or seven tests instead of eight or nine, which would be what we previously had. Overall testing was reduced by 90 minutes. I could not recall how much time is still spent on the park testing.
Roughly 8.5 to 9.5 hours okay. Of actual CE testing time still.
Okay, so yeah, it's still significantly longer than the other testing. All students will be doing online, or were doing online testing instead of one-third of the students doing online and two-thirds doing paper previously. And we had some computer issues at high school and middle school levels. I think we even had some at elementary, is that correct?
Very little, mostly not really elementary comparatively. We have starts and stops.
If I recall, some of that was not even necessarily our own issues, but some of it was server issues. Is that?
Truthfully, I think we can trace it back to some network issues on our side. Okay. Work out once we did, we were able to test
them. All right. And out of the US and the nine of the 10 benchmark schools, there's a drop in composite and ELA, the meets and exceeds, and there was an increase in the math meets and exceeds. Ultimately, and there's some of my own commentary here as well, but little faith placed in park testing, and there's concern about having legitimate baselines established because of irregularities of testing, what years are being tested, the online formats in the past, so we haven't really been able to establish a baseline. And we're not sure how much longer we're going to be using the park test. So, and do we have any idea on that yet?
I don't even think the state was actually announcement until after this year's testing is completed.
Okay.
If they said anything now, I think you just seem to say not effort. So,
yeah.
If there's an announcement, it won't be until
Okay. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Next committee was policy. You were busy.
400 pages worth.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to Mr. Moore for going through it.
Him actually was not here for this one.
Did a fabulous job of helping, giving us the highlights. A lot of it was just changes in wording, vocabulary, where things were placed within different policies, how things were aggregated differently. And you see the full list here of everything that we went through. There was one policy that was on. Was set aside, and that was a rules change on what comes before the Board of Education for approval. Anything under 10,000 at this point, we go ahead and allow that to go through, and there was a request to go up to 25,000, and people that were at the meeting said no thank you, not for now. It may be revisited at a later date, but as of now, that policy change was tabled, and so there has been no change made in that. Changes come to us via, oh Lord, the word just went right out of my mind, press. And we have to look at them, go through them, and do them, and therefore put them within our scope. You'll notice they're all under consent agenda tonight, all of the ones except the one that we did table or set aside. Everything else made it to consent agenda for this evening.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the longest meeting we've ever had.
No. It made a difference, I think, that Mr. Moore is very good at pointing out what the changes are and really very concisely explaining it to us. I could have seen that meeting. We even talked about how long we thought that meeting might last, but no, I felt like we moved through things carefully and not, it was fine. I felt very comfortable at the end of the meeting that we'd gone through all the policy changes.
Well, thank you very much.
And truth be told, I think I said I was not, this was one I was not at.
So, you would have remembered this one.
Yeah, I would have, I recalled missing, but I was happy, I agree with the, for right now, keeping the cap at 10,000. Mm-hmm. So I'll add my name to that, to the list of people who agree with that.
Okay, thank you. And I would imagine, I'm wondering, did the Housing Commission meet?
Yes, we did. We met on November 17th, and we discussed the housing rehab loan program and the down payment assistance program, which I had updated the board before on the policies that are in place now. And what was nice is that this was the first time that we actually reacted to it. So the variance came up with the location of affordable housing at the old St. Charles Mall site. And that was, we approved it. It's going to be affordable housing. They're building a series of apartments, and two of those buildings are going to be for affordable housing for our seniors. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
For seniors specifically?
Specifically for seniors, indeed. So they'll be age-restricted, income-restricted. There'll be one- and two-bedroom apartments, I believe. I know for sure one bedroom.
I've heard a couple different numbers on that. How many total units and how many total units are going to be the senior housing? Do you know?
I know that the two buildings are certainly for the seniors.
Somebody just yesterday asked me that, and I said, I have.
Are we talking about the same place here?
Yeah, old St. Charles Mall.
On Lincoln, on 38.
Yeah, the Jewel. Right, the old St. Charles Mall. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same place. So
We've been working with.
Right. Yeah, I had been at meetings, and then
so it
I
says
haven't
here.
Had time to go to the last few.
670 apartments is what they're looking for. But two of those buildings within that will be for affordable senior housing.
So it's 670 all told. All the units that will be on that site.
That's correct.
Okay. How many buildings is that going to be?
Oh, Jiminy Christmas, I don't know.
Do you have a percent? Like, is it a certain percent that's set aside? Like, you know. Well, I guess, you know what, it's...
Give me a minute. It may have it in here. So it'll be... Market rate units, affordable units will be approximately 30%. At least 30%. They're going to look exactly the same. You did mention that the design on the outside will be just like everybody else. You know, so there won't be any indication that this is an affordable unit. It's going. The units within the residential development shall be, and they're all rentals, or they may be rentals at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So they're called units, residential units, not apartments or condominiums, because of financing options, and there'll be an equal proportion to the number of bedrooms per dwelling unit in the market rate units within the residential development. Energy efficient, all affordable units and market rate units shall have the same type and quality of improvements related to energy efficiency, plumbing, insulation, windows, and heating and cooling systems. So, it'll be the first affordable housing for our seniors built in St. Charles if it goes through in a very long time, and it's going to be subcontracted to another developer who will be getting tax incentives from the state of Illinois.
So Shodine's not going to do the work?
Shodine is not. They'll be supervising it, but they will not be managing. And there will be gathering places for the seniors, for food, for counseling, activity rooms down below, so that the seniors don't live in isolation. They'll be supported as support needs as required.
So since a lot of this is under the auspices of the St. Charles Housing Commission, is there a preference given to St. Charles residents?
Yes, there will be.
Good.
There absolutely will be.
Well, I think you probably told us more than we've heard from other
sources. And it passed the commission unanimously and went to the Planning Commission.
Can I add something to housing?
Please. Are you finished with your report?
Yes.
Thank you.
I will want to add it only because I forgot it in the superintendent's report and it has to do with housing. We got notice this last week that development is being kind of put on hold that is partly in our district, partly in Burlington School District. So we have, Mr. Chapman went and testified on behalf of the school district at the hearing on that, which is about 380 units. 380 units total. Originally, it was supposed to be less than that, but they've increased the density.
They added 44 in our district and a total of 75.
Total. So it's split between Burlington School District and us.
It's about a 50-50 split?
No.
No, it's more us than them.
Okay.
But to let you know that we currently do not have a agreement with Elgin, but they are being amenable to starting an agreement with us in regards to impact fees for that. So we are in the process of doing that, and we hope to have that to business services this Thursday, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's a draft agreement packet right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but just so you know that the developer is saying a 10-year build-out right now, something. So
that's going to go back to the Housing Commission as well. Because any new development is going to be impacted with whether they have to build affordable housing or fee in lieu.
What are their boundaries?
This would be in Elgin, though.
But if you say, but the school district, I apologize.
Yeah, so this is in Elgin.
Absolutely.
They must have a housing commission, right? They're a large body.
I'm assuming they do, but this is, I don't know how they work. But just to let you know, that's where we're at. We got that. We didn't know about it. We actually got told by some community members about it, so Elgin had not contacted us about it. So,
St. Charles has got one of the few housing commissions in the area. The only other one that I'm really aware of are on the North Shore. I believe it's in Winnetka or Lake Forest, and then of course in Evanston and St. Charles.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yes, thank you. And that's on Thursday.
Elgin has a housing authority.
We'll see if they end up weighing in on this project. Okay, and then the one other group that met was DPTO I went to. And basically, it was a lot of conversation, really strong, good conversation between the participants that were there, talking about their activities, kind of how they get their money. I think it's really good for the PTOs to get together and sometimes commiserate on support each other, give each other ideas. It worked out great. Dr. Schlumman came and answered questions, and it was, considering the vote we had the previous week, it really wasn't a kind of a quiet session.
It was quiet.
Yes. But thank you for coming, Dr. Schlumman. That means a great deal to the people that are there. And that's it for committee reports. We'll move on to action items. May I have a motion on a resolution to adopt the aggregate tax levy for the year 2016?
So moved.
Mr. Gaffney?
Second.
And Mr. Mannheim is second to the motion. Is there any further discussion? None heard. Mrs. Retcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Pratt?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
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 This is you.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. The next action item is East and North High School student travel for the 2016-17 school year. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer and Mrs. Pirog. And I know we have in our packet, is there any little discussion of it or?
You're going to Germany as a combined of the two schools going together to get enough students together. So I think that's anything else.
And I was noticing that the Goethe Foundation is going to be giving them grants, the teachers' grants, for their travel expense, which I think is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful.
And this is something different because it's about 3 weeks. Now, sometimes students go for really 10 days, 14 days, but this is 3 weeks. They stay with a host family, so it's pretty. I think it'll be very interesting. I was just wondering, though, that it's through the month of June, and those students are in school in the month of June, I guess.
In Germany?
In Germany.
Yes.
Yes. No. Somebody out there? No. what a great opportunity for the students. It seems like they're close to having the number that they need to run this. So, any other thoughts? No?
Is this the first time that East and North have gone together?
No.
No. Oh, hello.
This is the fourth time we've done the exchange. And the last three times have gone very well. I supervised two of the last three, and you know, just very minor personality conflicts, if anything. Very rare those happen. So yeah, it's been a huge success. And then they come here, the same students who host in June come here and stay with those same American students in the fall in C. St. Charles and Chicago.
That is a great idea, and 3 weeks is really a nice amount of time to get a little immersed in things.
They go to school, it's the end of their school year, so they're kind of wrapping things up, and they don't have final exams, they might have oral presentations, so it's a bit of a different experience than our end of the school year, but they still get to have fun and experience everyday life, and we have little outings and day trips, and then they're there with the host families 2.5 weeks, and then about 3 or 4 days, we travel around, and we kind of, Mr. Maloney and I at North, we kind of just choose different places to see for 3 or 4 days. So we go to Berlin and Cologne and Leipzig, and this time we're going to Salzburg and Munich. Just for a little extra travel.
Well, thank you very much for doing it for the students, taking that time. Sounds like a great plan. Any other comment? Nothing? Would you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
Yes. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. May I have a motion? Does anyone wish anything to be pulled? Consent agenda is from A to double T.
So moved. Second.
Mr. Gaffney and Mr. Sperling? Well, we'll just take the roll call vote.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Our last items are the four information requests that we saw. New business? Is there any new business? Mm-hmm. Nothing?
I do have a question. We had talked about the possibility of looking at potentially delaying, parsing out that construction of the middle school over 3 years instead of two. Is that something we can look into to just determine what the additional costs would be? Because I know we had mentioned that it could potentially alleviate some of the burden and some of the impact on the families. You know, keeping kids in the same schools and so forth.
Are other board members interested in having administration look at that?
I thought we said no, that we didn't want to proceed that way.
That was kind of the feeling I had, but I don't think...
Yeah, I don't think we voted on it. I think it was, I just wanted to know if there was anything, if it was something we could...
was that we were satisfied.
I know it came up as a discussion item, and I know it was, I know as an example, Mr. Manheim and others talked about cost associated with delaying that, so I don't know whether that's something
it could have been a business service
to get them to
too.
Quote it and stuff. And until you get an actual bid, you don't really know. So, but it's up to you as a board member. Do you want to direct me to do that, or
does anyone else feel they want to learn about that?
I feel very comfortable having move on all at one fell swoop and have the construction done all together so that the project is...
was the intent was to have it, but instead of having it occur over 2 years, have it occur over three, and that might help keep people in their own schools so we don't have to do the shifting.
I think that
seems to be the big issue for a lot of people.
I understand the rationale, but I support the construction cost because of the economy of scale, just to have it done all at the same time, my belief.
That's probably a discussion we might have naturally anyway once we see bids and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, the objective is that we're putting a timeline together with penalties if they don't complete it by those timelines. And that timeline is based on completing it by the start of the 2019 school year, which is the 2 years. So if you wish to change that and have an option, we could, we would need to bid it with a, also with a separate set of documents that would say differently than that. And we'd have to have the architect kind of break it down into smaller chunks so that more, and I think what Mr. McNally is referring to is that we're actually trying to have more of the building available at Thompson. Now, all the buildings still can't be available at Thompson. We'd still have to have some parts of it, you know, go away, but you could have more of it. So potentially you could have, let's say, for instance, two classes there instead of just one class. Right now we're planning to have just sixth grade there. So, but you'd probably then keep the kids, you know, it would be a completely different structure. You'd probably keep the kids 6th, 7th, and 8th at Haynes, and keeping Thompson, let's say for instance, as 6th, 7th, and 8th, but maybe you know, shifting some kids over to Haynes out of Thompson. You probably have to do that in order to accommodate the construction. And what you would not do then for at least 3 years is come down to one middle school. So you'd still run principals and assistant principals and other things like that. So you'd also have some, internally you'd have, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't sat down and put pen to paper on this stuff, but you'd probably end up with some internal cost as well with this. So at least as I left it, my assumption was, given what the board direction was, is that we weren't doing that. We were looking at a 2-year window. If you wished me to do something other than that, then I need some direction in regards.
We're going to push our cost off past 50 million if we do that, plus the time element on a.
Agreed.
Yeah, you're pushing the time element out, so you're stalling the project is what you're doing. This is not a 3-year project. I'm being.
Well, it could be a 3-year project.
Well, it could be a 4-year project, but
I think we would exceed the 50 million.
Yep.
Push us.
You know, I really kind of do remember talking about this. It must have been at Business Services, and it just is not anything that really had a lot of support on the board. So I think going back and asking administration to put together additional bids and do studies or whatever they have to do is not something that's really supported at this time. I think, and I have, for myself, there's the money, and then I think people have come to accept what we're going to do, and I think dragging it out probably doesn't, maybe makes some people feel better, makes other people not feel better. So I really see that at the table. So I won't really, I don't think we should ask the administration to do that.
I have full faith in the cultural, the culture and climate committee, thank you, will fully address these issues because we did talk about that at the last board meeting, especially for our eighth graders, the rising eighth graders, so that they can fully participate in the traditions that they wanted to at Thompson. That I know is going to be addressed.
Okay. Is there any other new business anyone has? I don't see anything. So in that case, may I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of the appointment, employment, and compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity. May I have that motion? Mr. Mannheim.
Yes. Sir.
Thank you.
I'll second.
And the second is Mr. McNally. Thank you.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrell?
Yes.
Mr. Spring?
Yes.
Ms. Stewart?
Yes. Motion carries.